The unrest that erupted into the Arab Spring 2 years ago. Recall now those sounds from Tahrir Square in Cairo, Egypt. The Arab Spring unleashed a broad political movement of very different groups who united to throw off dictatorial regimes in North Africa and the Middle East. They succeeded in Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, and Yemen. And uprisings continue in Syria and to a lesser extent in Bahrain and elsewhere. But the sound in Tunisia today is this. Sound there from a populist movement that has united to challenge the elected Islamist leadership in that country. It's a similar challenge in Egypt. There is also open warfare in Mali between Islamist groups seeking to take power and secular groups united with the French military to take back the country. Are we seeing, in some sense, the beginning of a second act in the Arab Spring, where secular groups are seeking to push back Islamist parties and groups, which benefited so much from the early upheaval in the Arab Spring? Joining us now to talk about this is Ian Black, Middle East editor for The Guardian. Ian, welcome back.
Hi, John.
So what do you think is going on? Is there any way to unify a theme in what's happening in Egypt and Tunisia and to a lesser extent in Mali?
I think Egypt and Tunisia, first of all, what they have in common is the removal after 30 years or more of a dictatorship that was broadly secular, though that's slightly misleading, and perhaps we can come to that in a minute, and that groups which had been suppressed, underground, not really tolerated, have found in the new freedoms created by the revolutions of the Arab Spring new possibilities. In the big picture, that's what's happening. There's a lot of talk about how everybody likes an easy image, how the Arab Spring has become an Islamist winter. That's very much the mood at the moment. If you look at things from Western capitals and indeed from some people in the region. But I think that that's a slightly short-term view. I think things are being played out in a novel sense because new things have become possible. And I'm not sure that where we are now is exactly will be exactly the same in a few months or a few years. On Mali, I find it harder to make a judgment. Mali is out of the mainstream of this phenomenon. It's not part of the Arab world. It's an Islamic country, but there are elements there of conflict between more moderate Islam and more extremist groups that have come from the north, maybe with some encouragement from Libya. But in the Arab world, these are groups that are really experiencing the novelty of being able to be active players on the public stage. A lot of people don't like what they see, but they also have a good deal of support. That's roughly where we are, I would say.
Would you say that rather than some sort of pendulum swinging against Islamist forces, you're really seeing secular progressive movements, call them what you will, but alternatives to the Muslim Brotherhood or the Islamist movement in Tunisia catching up to what was, in a sense, a head start because those groups predated the dictatorship?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, certainly in Egypt and in Tunisia, in a slightly different way, the Islamists were either semi-tolerated, semi-legal, sometimes banned, as in Egypt, but had a real presence on the ground. Tunisia, they were more banned and less present. But what they have in common is that they're both well-organized forces. And when the dictatorship disappeared with all its apparatus and the elements of those societies which were co-opted to work with the regime, then they found themselves to be the most effective. And that's why in the free elections that we've seen in Egypt and in Tunisia, the Islamist parties, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and the Nahda in Tunisia, came out on top. But in both cases, those are elections, the first genuinely free and mostly fair elections that have been held. There is a slight sense of, well, they were always going to do the best because they were the best organized. That's certainly quite a strong view in Egypt. And one shouldn't mistake the relatively good performance at the polls, though narrow in the a narrow victory in the Egyptian context, for massive popular support. That, I think, is where we are right now.
I'm tempted to go back to Mali, if only for some of the amazing quotes that have been coming out in the press in coverage of what went on with the Al-Qaeda group going into Mali, in the sense that there's such a sense of outrage that, hey, we are Muslim, we are Islam here, and that these imposters, these Al-Qaeda imposters are offensive, and that there's been a real sort of pushback and outrage that I think was absent from some of the other sort of conflicts.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, these are very diverse, very different movements within the Islamic tradition. And the reaction of the good people of Mali, particularly of southern Mali, with their Sufi tradition, a particularly gentle and quietist form of Islam, to these interlopers from the north, either from Mali or from beyond Algeria, the Sahara, these extremists who are seen as coming with alien ideologies. It's a very, very bitter and violent conflict within Islam that, after the demise, if that's the right word, of Al-Qaeda, of which the West is more aware, we can see very sharply in the context of Mali, this very unfamiliar and remote place. Timbuktu, after all, is a place of fantasy in the Western imagination, somewhere beyond the end of the rainbow, almost. But in this remote place, we can see being played out a very, very polarized conflict within different traditions of Islam. We've only focused in the West on the very violent and the very small numbers of people who've been involved in violent jihad. But if we look back to last year, when Osama bin Laden was finally killed in his hideout in Pakistan, at the height of the events of the Arab Spring, it was very striking that, you know, nobody really much cared in the part of the world where he was supposed to be leading a violent Islamic resurgence. So we've seen, I think, in this very dramatic period, who in the Muslim world is more popular.
Right.
The clashes that we've seen are, to some extent, related to that
and a lot of history to be played out, to be sure. Ian Black is Middle East editor for The Guardian. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.